Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable.
MG's Rugby League Rundown.
Oh, and not just any Rugby League Rundown this week, MG. It's the Magic Round Rugby League Rundown.
It's a kind of magic, magic. Remember this time exactly 12 months ago, we were getting ready to go up the Magic Round, myself, you and Charlie, and Tony Soprano. And the word was around that we heard that the Broncos were about to sign someone big.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It ended up being Adam Reynolds for a three-year deal. That was 12 months ago, almost to the day. So a lot has happened in them 12 months, and a lot will happen in the next 12 months. But one thing is for sure. We'll be here, baby.
I am pumped for Magic Round. Like, I'm here in Brisbane. Oh, people
Magic
know that
round
now.
Or are they changing it to Wet Round? Pouring up there, yeah?
Moist Round. It is wet. It is wet. I can tell that to people right now. It's wet and it's expected to stay wet as well. We actually spoke to the head groundskeeper for Suncorp Stadium, Mal Caddies, the other day on Triple M's Rush Hour with Lisa Lehman and Dobbo. And this guy was basically praying that the rain wouldn't be as bad. I think the hope, he said, is that if the rain can avoid as much rain as there as has been forecast for Friday, they'll be fine. You know, okay. By the time you get to the last game, I mean, thoughts and prayers for the West Tigers and the North Queensland Cowboys. They are the final game of Magic Round, and they're going to be playing on a council oval. They are going to be playing. It is going to be torn up, right? But that's just the reality when you play eight games of football. But Mal did say that provided the rain isn't torrential on Friday, it'll be okay. So when those first games, the Bulldogs and Knights and the Bronx and Manly play on Friday, as long as the ground's not drenched, they'll obviously be working through the night, every night, Friday night and Saturday night, to get the ground looking schmick. But they will be able to get through the weekend. So I trust in Mal. In Mal we trust.
In Mal we trust. Good on you,
Mal. In Mal we trust. It's a bit like the Queensland Origin team for the last decade or so. In Mal we trust. Right, AMG, let's look back on round 9. We do have a week of football to look back on with your plays that mattered.
Let's go!
MG.
That is massive.
Plays of the week.
Well, very hard to go past number one, the Sharkies and the Warriors. This was a bizarre type of game. You know, we thought... I actually thought when young Will Kennedy got sent off, that was it. I thought, okay, now the Warriors are going to storm home. Then Ramey got sin-binned. I thought, 11 and 13. I haven't seen that for a long, long time. And the funny thing about it was that they never looked like scoring the Warriors. They never looked like putting the ball across the line. And say what you can about the Sharkies' defense, but it's more about what the Warriors didn't do in attack. But here's how it went down.
Goes to the short side. He's Kennedy could be marched. It looks reflex.
Well, okay.
Ooh,
yeah.
I don't need you, mate.
We like this bloke, Todd Smith.
Off,
he's off. Oh. He's sent off. Will Kennedy has been marched.
18 metres short of halfway.
Oh, massive tackle from Ramian. He has ironed out his opponent there in Ewan Aiken. Oh, what a play. Now, Todd Smith has called time off here. Well, Aiken, as the bunker Aiken said, down. Let me have a look.
Aiken stayed down, so there's got to be contact with the head.
Okay, the contact is high. It's on report, and you're in the bin.
10. Ooh. And I wonder if we didn't already have a send-off, whether that would have been straight off.
To me, that's worse.
Yeah, I agree with the commentators, Dan and Gordy. I think that Jesse Ramey was very lucky that Will Kennedy was sitting in the sheds, because he would have been on his way. That was the old-fashioned shoulder charge, and something the game hasn't seen for a few years, and I don't think we want to see it again, because it proves how deadly they can be, a shoulder to the head.
There was a little bit of me, MG, when those two incidents happened, that I thought, geez, we're on the eve of Magic Round.
Oh,
and we all know what happened this time last year, where the NRL went protect the head happy. Now, again, we are in support of protecting the head. The futures of the guys that play this game is more important than their time in the game, and they should look after the head. But what happened last year in Magic Round was over the top, and I don't think there's any argument to that. And I just hope we don't, off the back of Magic Round, we're not talking again about, geez, hasn't the NRL gone into overkill with this?
Surely not.
Yeah.
Surely they've learned from their past indiscretions. Like, you've got a platform here. You've got arguably, outside of the finals, footy and origin, this is our next biggest spectacular. So you don't want to ruin it. I mean, you
I can't think of another code in the world that does this.
I
it's so good.
I get they want to try and make a point, and they want to do it while all eyes are on the game. But I think last year was a detriment to the game, and I think every rugby league fan would have said the same thing. There's no way, shape, or form that that was entertainment. Seeing three or four Simb in a game and untold penalties that ruined the whole spectacular. But they won't do it again. They would not do it again because there'll be an uproar of emotion that'll go right across the land, and they're not ready for that. They couldn't do that. What else caught my eye? Well, we saw one of the better games of the season last Friday night between the Panthers and the Eels. And the Eels, well done. Bravo. You came, you saw, you conquered. But something happened in the game that I thought, come on. Like, 99.9 people out of 100 saw Billy Kickow knock the ball on.
Where, unfortunately, why the one person was sitting in the bunker.
No, it wasn't the bunker. It was the touch judge, I think.
It was the touchy.
Who was right there. And that's their job. That's to pick up them type of things. But this is exactly how it went down.
Surely that's a knock on.
Yeah, great work. Billy Army kick out down that left-hand side. It looked like a knock on.
Well, that's got to be a
late knock on that's been missed by Jared Sutton.
Yep, I mean, touch judges used to have a bit of a say in our game. They'd see some foul play, they'd run in with their flags up, and hence why I got Simbin in 1991, because TV Weeks came on the field, Martin Weeks. Yeah. We used to say to him, you only come on with these TV games so you can get you say to people, there I am, look. But he's a good bloke. Yeah, but they used to be kind of a little bit intimidated by touch judges because you knew they were watching everything you'd done. But I think they've gone backwards because of the fact that the bunker is there as a bit of a wicketkeeper, and I don't think that's good for the game. I think the touch judges have to have more power because they are running up and down. They have got a better feel for the game than the bunker has, and the more power we give to them, the better.
Well, thankfully, that non-decision didn't actually affect the outcome because if Panthers had won by 2 points, we're obviously, Parra won by 2 points. If the Panthers had won by 2 points, that would have been a much bigger issue. Just quickly, as an edge back rower in your day, MG, is Ryan Madison too big? He's enormous.
His body's falling out of his jersey. I mean, he's a monster. He's a monster.
He's so big.
He's got the biggest arms that I've seen on a rugby league player, honestly.
I don't know how he holds the ball. Like,
he will be a front row. He's front row bound. But the step he put on Dylan Edwards to score a try was really, look, it works for him. So well done, Popeye. the third thing that caught my eye was obviously we had our bowl predictions last week. I thought that the name Trbojevic would be mentioned in the scoring column 3 times. Well, I was really close. Two times, but the Burbo, upstage Turbo. And Gerbo.
Jerry Evans at dummy half. He got it away to Ben Trbojevic. And you know what? The Chesty Bondsman goes over. Ben Trbojevic scores the first try of the day.
Gets
it away to Tommy Turbo. He passes it back to nobody, but it's picked up by Lachlan Croker. Croker gets it away to Ben Trbojevic.
Yes.
And Benny Trbojevic gets another try. He's having a wow of a game.
Ah, Burbo.
Burbo.
You mentioned Burbo, and what a fantastic evening that was. Did you hear Jake speak after the game?
Yeah. He was in tears. So lovely.
Like,
he's the best bloke that's ever played rugby league.
Yeah.
He is by far the best bloke that's ever played the game. I'd never see him angry.
For those that haven't heard it, and I'm sure you probably had, if you love your rugby league, you would have heard this somewhere. But for those that haven't, here is Jake Trbojevic speaking about Ben's performance in that game.
Mate, I just want to say it was a nice moment today. Like, I was finding it hard before the game. I was getting a bit emotional when we're all starting together and seeing how proud our mum and dad were playing here at Brookvale. You know, it's really cool, and just very, very proud, very, very proud of Ben. As you said, he trained at centre all week and just a last-minute sort of reshuffle ended up in the back row, and he did really well, getting a double here at home, obviously playing 80 minutes as well. Very proud, really, so proud, mate. It's just such a nice moment for us all and our family and our friends.
Wow. He should be a politician.
Yeah, he'd win. He'd be PM. He could be PM.
He could take Tony Abbott's spot on the Northern Beaches comfortably. Justin Langer used to talk about when he took over coaching the Australian cricket team as wanting to make those players men that he would be proud that his daughter would bring home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Jake Trbojevic of that mould. Just moving forward, I want these players and these men to become like Jake Trbojevic.
Yeah, and that's why I think that Freddie will find a spot for him in the New South Wales team. I think you need him in the 17. You need his presence in that 17. Like he's not as a good attacker player as he once was, but his defense is still spot on.
Yeah.
He still kind of is that the glue that holds a lot of people together. Because I could imagine in camp, the shyest guys in camp, he'd be the first one to walk over and shake their hands and say, welcome to the team, or how you been? And he's selfless. He's selfless. And I love the way he plays. And, I'll get to that team a bit later. But I think he'll come off the bench, Jake, because he can play, you know, lock and front row. That's to his benefit big time.
Yeah. All right. Very nice plays of the week, MG. It was a fantastic weekend of football. I'm looking forward to next week's plays of the week off the back of Magic Round. It's going to be good. We are going to get to Magic Round tips. MG is going to name his full Blues 17 that he thinks will be out there for game one. This has to be a joke. This headline has to have come from the Batuta Advocate, or it's got to be April 1st.
The shovel.
The Roosters are in the hunt for Cam Munster. Get stuffed.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think it's one of them little rumours that's been set by a match and now engulfed by a fire. I don't think so. You got Luke Keary and Sam Walker both there. Luke Keary's coming off an ACL, yeah, and he hasn't been the explosive best, but he will be. He's having that year off will only enhance his career at the back end. I don't think they can afford $1 million for Cam Munster as well. Surely not.
Nick Politis has already come out and said, we can't afford paying Haas if he wants $1 million a year.
That's right.
And I get that Cam Munster's a different player and maybe you entertain paying slightly more for him, but your positional points bang on. Like, they got Teddy at fullback where Cam can play if needed. They got Sam Walker, this rising star, in the halves, and Luke Keary, a bloke who for the last couple of years has been plagued by injury, but when fit is predicted for not only to play New South Wales, but also to win Dally M's. Like, this is a guy who's won comps. You know, why would they spend a huge chunk of their salary cap to bring in Cam Munster?
Yeah, they've got probably their most important game of the season coming up to them, this Magic Round, the Roosters, because they are out of all the top teams. And look, South, South are gone. I think, put a line through South. Now that Murray's out for 4 weeks, they've got 5 games coming up plus a bye that they should win at least 4 of them. If they don't win at least 4 of them with the bye, well, they'll be lucky to make the 8, honestly, because they are free-falling. I think that the move of Cody Walker to captain is a good one because I'll try and help inspire his team. But back to the Roosters, yeah, I think that they're kind of in the same type of peril as the Rabbitohs. They've got the know-how and the guts and the cattle, but they just don't seem to be gelling on the footy field. There seems to be a lot of a mix-up between 6 and 7, which I don't know why. I don't know why, because is it someone, and Trent Robinson's an astute dude. He knows what's going on, but surely he can see as much as we can see that something's got to give with their halves. They've got to work out their creativity. Who's going to be the number one, master of setting up play? Who's going to be the one? Who's going to be the foil? Who's going to be? It's all about sharing. Sharing is caring. And if they don't sort it out sooner or later, they're going to be a mess and free fall because they play the Eels. They're playing the Eels on Sunday, is it? Yeah. Yeah, Sunday.
Yes.
Second last game of Magic Round. So the Eels have to make a statement. They've got to back up what they did against Penrith, which is going to be very hard. So the Roosters might find them, on an off day. But
yeah,
they need this win more than anything, the Roosters.
I like the question about the halves, Keary and Walker. I mean, from your perspective, who should be in charge? If you compare it to the best halves combination in the team right now, in Cleary and Luai, who should be the Cleary, the director, the running the things, and who should be Jerome and playing what they see in front of them?
I think, look, Keary should be the 7. He should be the one who's organising and not running as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tedesco and Walker should be them 2 players either side of him that do all the running, a la Luai and Edwards at Penrith.
Yeah.
You need one general, and I think that's Keary. Keary's got the nous to do all that type of stuff. The, you know, not sure if his kicking game is up to as the high standard as you need to be that number one man, but he's been there, done it. You know, he's been doing it for so long. He's such a consistent player. I think we forget how good he was, and he reminds me a lot of Kieran Foran in his heyday. Kieran Foran was such a good player of organising play and setting up other players. Selfless again. These guys who are selfless rugby league players usually are the ones who have the most success. So I'm sure Trent Robinson's working on that as we speak. Suwali showing some good signs. But look, if they were to sign, go back to Munster. Paul Kent did mention on 360 last night that they would move on Keary, Hargraves and Crichton to get him. So, you know, that's, for mine, that's, man, that's, that, and I suppose that you've got to start looking at that. If not so much Luke Keary, but I suppose Angus Crichton and Hargraves, you just get the feeling that Jared's probably not far away from a Super League contract or, you know, or maybe going somewhere else. But Angus Crichton, that's a funny one because I still think he's got a lot of good footy in him, but he doesn't seem to be expressing himself as much as he usually does. Maybe because the hair bun's gone.
I know there's people out there who are listening to this thinking, stop talking about the Roosters. Just for a moment, though, let's imagine Munster is at the Roosters next year for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the Roosters are potentially, like, the Roosters all of a sudden are then the home of the two bad boys. Because Brandon Smith's going to be there at 9 next year. And all of a sudden, the Roosters...
In Sydney,
danger Will Robinson, danger.
Yeah. Temptation Will Robinson, temptation.
The Bondi bubble is the last place that those two need to team up.
Yeah. I think Brayton Astor is smart enough to know that, who is Cameron Munster's manager.
Yeah.
I think it's the last place that Cameron Munster needs to be when he's fighting so many demons and he's fighting them well. You know,
that should be said. We're calling them bad boys and talking about the demons. He has done he's done the wrong thing.
Remarkable.
Now he's gone away and done a tremendous amount of work to improve himself.
He's actually he's a fantastic example for kids who are coming into the game to say that when you're high, you're high, when you're low, you're low, but you can always fight back from both.
And this too shall pass.
Yep. He has been really, really good.
The reports are that the Storm are going to offer him an improved deal.
I would be – look, I spoke about this on the Brekkie Show earlier in the week. So, okay, I'll give you and Charlie a scenario. I'm Cameron Munster, and you're
– Hi, Cam.
Hi, Cam. You're the Melbourne Storm, Liam, and Charlie is the Redcliffe Dolphins. I have just been told by my manager, Brayton Astor, that A, Craig Bellamy is staying on for another 2 years – and B, they've offered me a 3-year deal with an extra $500,000 a year. Well, it's not per year, but it'll be...
Over the course of the three years.
It's gone from being 1.5 over 2 years to, you know, nearly... Well, I'm getting up around the 850 mark with the Storm. I'm getting up around the 850 mark where...
Sure.
Okay, so if I can get 850 there, but the Dolphins haven't budged on 1.2 mil. They're saying that... That you've got it, you're the marquee player, all the third-party payments are yours. I am, every day of the week, I am staying at Melbourne. I am staying
you'd
there.
You'd say no to, you over the course of the comparative deals, you've got 3 years at the Dolphins under Wayne Bennett on 1.2, or you've got 3 years with the Storm under Bellamy at 850. You're saying goodbye to $1,050,000 before tax.
It's not about money. Ask Milford. Ask Ash Taylor. Ask these guys who have squandered $1 million a season. It's not about the money. It's about the legacy. And you have more of a chance of fulfilling and making it a lot more enhancing, I would say, your legacy. If you stayed at Melbourne, where you'd probably win another comp or two, Dolphins, you're not going to win a comp. You're not winning a comp in your time at the Dolphins if you're Cam Munster. He's going to be 29 when he lands there. If he does, or 30, he's not winning a comp at the Dolphins. So that's what you got to weigh up. So if I'm weighing that up as a player, I know Craig Bellamy's staying at the Dolphins. I'm staying because you know what? Harry just re-signed. Xavier just re-signed. Jerome just re-signed. Pappenhausen just re-signed. All they're there. The spine is there for another 3 or 4 years.
The argument Dolphins could make to Cam Munster.
Oh, I love this. Let's not forget, in this hypothetical situation, Charlie is the Dolphin. So I love that he's repping them.
Is the reality that the guys you mentioned, Milford and stuff, Munster's legacy is already miles and miles and miles ahead of those players you mentioned. He had that heroic Origin series where he's hung over the whole time and won them. He's won concert.
allegedly hung over the whole time.
And played like Wally Lewis. He's won comps. Should he not go and... that's an extra $1 million that he can go and grab. That's massive for his family. Like, he's 27 years old. This is probably his last big, big deal, you would think.
Yep. I would think... Oh, look, I'll take that. That's a very good point you make there, Wayne. but I think what would happen is we would see... Unfortunately, we'd see him caught in a spotlight that he's not ready to be caught in. I think that he's the type of player who needs to be regimented. He needs to be out of sight, out of mind. And I think that's the way that keeps him out of trouble, because he has got that larrikin side to him that's pretty easily influenced by others, by the sounds of things, like a lot of players were, like I was. But I was never half as good as Cameron Munster's ability. Some of the things I see him do on a footy field on his day, talk about turbos, we talk about teddies, we talk about Nathan Cleary's on this day. Munster's the best player in the game. He does the things that you want your players to do, but he hasn't done it for long enough. He does it special times, like Charlie mentioned last year with the Origin, or the year before when he did play like Wally Lewis. It was so similar. But I just think if he got in safe waters of Redcliffe around those brethren again, I'd be worried. I'd be worried about him if I was Braith, his manager. So I'd be saying, mate, look, we've squeezed that lemon as much as we can. Let's squeeze it for another 3 years and let's play the rest. Let's be a one club man.
We talk about the Bondi bubble. The reality is that the Brisbane bubble will be just as significant.
They'll be under the microscope more than any team in the comp, Liam, when they first come in.
And not only off the field, but at the moment it's Adam Reynolds' city because of what he's doing with the Broncos, and he's just turned up here. If Cam Munster was here playing with the Dolphins next year, which I'd love to see. He would be the most talked about, interviewed, profiled. Your social pages, it becomes a Cam Munster adult version of Where's Wally. It's Where's Cam Munster daily.
It'd be a pylon.
And that's what
makes Melbourne so good. And everyone keeps saying, "Oh, it's Wayne Bennett." Yeah, of course it is.
You're in
rugby league heartland. Mm-hmm. You are not in Melbourne, where it's AFL heartland, where you can walk down the street with anonymity. You can't do that when you go into Redcliffe. And that is that worth $1 million to you over a course of 3 years? These are the things he's got to weigh up.
Look, if you were earning $100,000 a year and there was an extra $1 million on the table,
of course.
But if you're earning $850,000 and if that is where the Melbourne Storms offer lands, at the moment it was $750,000, it will no doubt be improved, then I think you've started to talk me around as well, MG. And Bellamy's the key.
He's the key. I would not, if I was Munster, I'd go as far as to say my contract mirrors his. When he leaves, I can leave as well. I'll have that put in my contract.
There's the bellyache clause. Righto, let's move along. We got stuck there for a little bit. Quickly, Sharks, who I think, along with the Eels, reminded us, as much as everybody's talking about being a two-team race with the Panthers and the Storm, the Sharks and the Eels reminded us that, hold on, woe your horses, and the Cowboys as well. There are other teams that will challenge on their day. They have announced Britton Nakora re-signing for 3 years, $1.7 million. Good money, fair deal for Britton Nakora. MG, you're a little bit over.
What's that, about $550,000 a year?
Yeah, about $570,000.
I think it's good. I think he got offered more from Tigers and Dragons, I believe. So, look, he's an international back rower. He never, ever changes how he plays. He's always in the game. He's always a danger. He defends well, and I think he's a Shark local. So he was always going to stay there, I think. He's wanted them to come to the party a little bit more, and I think they gave him an extra year, which is – so he'll play there. He'll play his career out there, and I love that. I love the fact that – I love when I see players be one club men. It makes my heart warm when I can see that happen. That's why I want Cameron Munster to, hopefully be that one club man as well. But if he doesn't, well – it'd be exciting to see him play for the Dolphins.
24 years of age. He's heading towards his prime as a footballer. It's a good deal for the Sharks.
Is he 24, Nakora?
Yeah, he's 24.
Oh, he's a baby. He's, no, yeah. He's a long way from finish. Yeah, I thought this was about 27.
No, no, no.
He's about 27.
Well, no, he'll be 27 at the end of this deal. Okay. A bloke who is definitely closer to the end than he is the beginning, and his beginning began as a man-child teenager, is Wade Graham. 31 years of age. Where's he at? It was great. Let's not mix the situation here. We get to speak to a lot of players. And some of them we spend more time with and some of them we get to know. And Wade Graham and Aaron Woods in particular are two that we have particular fondness for because of their involvement with our show and with the Triple M NRL. But I felt a genuine sense of pride seeing Wade back out there winning games of football. Like, I was really proud in a weird way.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love the kid. I actually do. I think we spoke about Tommy Turbo being one of the best blokes in the league. Well, he's not far behind him, Wade Graham.
Yeah.
It's about how people talk about you. And as soon as I got beaten last week, people were saying, oh, Wade's back. He might be on the outer. Wade will quit. Wade will give the game away when Wade wants to give the game away. He doesn't need a tap on the shoulder. He's been around long enough. He was 17 when he played first grade for the Panthers at 5'8", straight out of year 11. He's been around long enough to know. He's not dumb. He's actually quite smart. He knows that. He had a few head knocks last year. He was out for almost a season. He hurt his ankle on resumption with coming back in trial games. So don't worry, he would have wrestled some demons himself.
Mm.
But I don't think he needs anyone else outside of the inner sanctum to tell him when or why. He'll know if it's this year, if it's next year. He'll know when it's time to hang up the boots. And I think he's owed that. To be honest, I think he's owed more than that. But the service he's given to the Sharkies has been enormous, and we know that his first game back it was a bit rusty, but then Fitzgibbon will ease him into it. He's going to be an integral part. If the Sharks are going to cause some ripples with the Panthers and the Storm in particular, if they're going to want to upset them at the business end of the season, they need someone like Wade Graham in their 17.
Mm. Well, he'd be one, along with obviously Finucane and Hines now, he'd be one of the few players in that squad that's actually won a comp and knows what it takes to get there. And on that as well, as much as Dale Finucane and Nico Hines have both been revelations since arriving, and the reporting about Dale Finucane's leadership is justified, but let's not forget that Wade Graham is one of the best leaders in the game, not just from an on-field perspective, but you spoke about his intelligence off the field and what he's been through with that club and the lessons he's learnt the hard way. He's also the bloke that reps the players as part of the Players Association. This is a guy who is as switched on as players can be when it comes to, collective bargaining agreements and third party and all the rest of that. Wade Graham is a very switched on unit, and I think Craig Fitzgibbon probably hasn't spoken about it much because all the focus has been on Finucane, but probably values Wade Graham's leadership as highly.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, we love Wado and we will love him and let him make the decision he wants to make. But
so anybody who's trying to say his career is done, get stuck.
Nah, yeah, I want to ask you something. You're right in the coal face up there on the Gold Coast. How's the news being perceived that Foran's coming to the Titans?
It's exciting. It is exciting. There's a bit of an angle from some folks that it's a sign of panic amongst the club.
I think Toby Sexton hasn't gone the levels that we thought he'd go. When we saw him last year, we thought this kid's going to be, it could be anything. And I think the grind of... And look, the Titans, they've been one of the most disappointing teams in the comp. They're third last on 4 points. But I will give them this. The team that they traded in all off-season with, they've played 1.5 games together. That's Jaden Campbell, fullback, Brimson. And I think now that he's back, Campbell, this weekend, I think it's going to make a massive difference on their team. And I think it'll free up a lot of what Toby Sexton does. But, yeah, Foran, it's an interesting one. I agree with you. I think it's a really good signing. I think it's something that – I don't think it's a panic signing. I think they're screaming out for an elderly player. They're screaming out for a stalwart at Titans. They just seem like they're the young – come on, let's go, Dad, let's go. Settle down, son. Settle down. It's a marathon, not a sprint. They want to be in the sprint all the time. As soon as they learn to get back and run in that marathon that's going to take over the 26 weeks, I think they'll be a lot better team. And someone like Kieran Foran is going to help them do that.
it's prompted a lot of criticism about the allowing Jamal Fogarty to go to the Raiders. It has. And rightly or wrongly, a lot of people have said, oh, well, you had your Kieran Foran in Jamal Fogarty. He was your captain and you allowed him to leave to the Raiders. But that's done. That's done, right? We spoke to Justin Holbrook on the Rush Hour with Lisa Lamb and Dobbo this week. He acknowledges that the spine is what matters most in the modern game, and they haven't quite got their spine right.
Where does Brimson play?
Well, and this is the question. Well, like Jaden Campbell is back this week, which is huge.
He's our long-term fullback.
Right. So I think AJ Brimson needs to be their long-term 5'8", and I think maybe Foran becomes a 9 when he gets up here.
Whoa. Wow.
Maybe. This is just, there's no intel on this.
Hey, even Brimson at 9. Brimson could play 9.
Well, maybe Brimson is converted into a 9. I don't know. The point is that AJ Brimson is a State of Origin level footballer and will be in there somewhere. The thing about Toby Sexton, because I've looked at his games this year and thought, oh, this hasn't quite gone the way I would have liked for the bloke I tipped to win Rookie of the Year. He's 21. He's played 13 games of first grade. MD, do you remember how you were going in game 14 of your career?
I do. I played 12 games when I was 19, and then I got pneumonia, and then I was out for 2 months, and then I come back through the reserve grade. So my first year was kind of checkered. I played 12 games straight, and you know, I actually played better the first couple of games than I did towards the end of them games because it's very hard.
But did you have the game figured out in game 14?
No, no.
Did you have the game figured out in game 24?
I didn't have it figured out until I come back to Penrith when I was 30. It was kind of, then I thought, this is how it works. You've got to do that. You've got to mentor that bloke and you've got to help this bloke. And yeah.
And you didn't have to steer a side around the park or kick goals.
No, that's right. That's right.
Toby Sexton is a 21-year-old who, with a huge amount of talent, who needs to improve lots of areas of his game. And Justin Holbrook has made the comment that he needs to get better at steering this side around the park. But they've identified him as their halfback, and I think we've seen enough to know that he can be the guy that leads them.
I think so.
Back up the ladder. So, look, it's been frankly a shit start of the year. They're 2-7. It's not where they would have wanted to be. But Foran arriving, exciting stuff.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be good.
Right, let's talk Magic Round. Magic Round has arrived. Quickly, I just want to make a point because we did have on the run sheet to talk about the Tigers, but we disappeared down the Roosters and Cam Munster rabbit hole.
You know what? Let the Tigers be. They'll be fine. I know producer Charlie wanted to ask why aren't we speaking about Tigers again? They've lost 2 in a row. They're sitting. Look, them bottom 4 teams, Tigers, Titans, Dogs, Newcastle, and I'll throw in Raiders as well. I think we've just got to – I'm sick to death of teams being death-ridden by – the media because of underperforming. Of course you get paid. We all get paid for our opinions. We all get paid for, you know, writing stories about the game. But not every single story has to be about who's going to be the next coach sacked, who's going to be the player sacked. It's, you know, it's, they've got to find the way. The Tigers found their way. The Dragons found their way of getting out of this, you know. The Broncos found their way. They will find their way. I've got no doubt about it that the Tigers will find their way again. They've got the Cowboys. I think this could even be an upset game on Sunday. You know, you've got Lucia Lua coming back. He's playing for the next year. The field's going to be a bog, so the fast Cowboys will resume. They'll kind of be, you know, a little bit back to the field with the Tigers. So I think it's going to be one of them real aggressive games. Last year, the Tigers had the benefit, I think, of playing in game one against, I think, the Knights, and we commentated that and they towed the Knights up. Now they're playing last, so they're going to sit back, they're going to watch everything, and the wetter it gets and the muddier it gets, the more worried the Cowboys are going to be because they know it's going to be an arm wrestle with the Tigers. So, yeah, look, I'll be right. I don't think we should, you know, jump on Madge's, you know, train again and start tooting it. I think he'll be sweet.
Well, as a reminder, this is the only piece of rugby league media anywhere, print, TV, radio, podcast form, that has predicted a no-coach-fired season. So we are pro-coach, and I think we've got to round 10, and that we're pro-coach, and that prediction holds true. So let's get stuck into the tip. You touched on the final game of Magic Round, but let's go back to the beginning. It opens with the Bulldogs taking on the Newcastle Knights, 15th v 16th. It's the arse end of the table clash, but exciting because both teams will look at this as an opportunity for a win.
Yeah, they will. I don't know. I really don't know. I look at these two teams. I look at the Knights, who have lost seven in a row. Only worse to the Titans, who have lost five. Or worse than the Titans, who lost five. I look at the teams. I look at where the points are going to come from. Having Klune back is good. Tex Hoy at six. We wanted that. Big in is Mitchell Barnett. He's a really good player. He's kind of like the Victor Adley of the Roosters. When they're gone, that you notice they're gone. And when they come back, you really notice that they're back. So on the back of that, I'm leaning towards a Knights victory. My bold prediction of this round is going to be that Knights will break their seven-game losing streak.
Yep, it's a good Simple prediction. I'm with you. I think the Knights win as well, and I think that forward pack fires, and I think Kalen Ponga might put on a show in front of Queensland fans that'll be behind him.
Bulldogs are $1.67 in a rugby league game. The Bulldogs are $1.67. There you go.
Crazy, absolutely crazy. Your feature game of the opening round of the opening night of Magic Round. It is the home side. It's technically a home game for Manly in this one, but obviously you're being played at Suncorp Stadium against the Broncos. It's 7v8. It's a really juicy encounter because the Broncos did what they did last week against the Bunnies without Payne Haas and without Kurt Capel, and both of those players come back into the side this week.
Oh, Carrigan, man. Wow. Carrigan, just in the game last week, he just cemented his spot in the Queensland forward pack. He's just...
Oh, you think?
Bloody oath he does. If not, he would be on the bench. He'll be somewhere. He'll be in the 17. He's just showed that having that time off, you know, he's been really good for them. To Murray Martin at fullback. Mm-hmm. He's been a real good conduit to the centres and been helping out. He's kind of like the Cody Walker to Adam Reynolds was last year. He's link man. He gives out the ball to Staggs and Farnworth as quick as he can and lets him do the work and just sit back and relax. On the other side of the ledger, you've got Ola Kawatu, who's back. You've got the three turbos, Tom, Ben, and Jake all playing. DCE.
Schuster's named amongst the reserves, but...
I don't think he'll play. He'll probably travel with them, but I don't think he'll play. I think this is probably the second best game of all Magic Round. I think that this will be a real good contest. I'm leaning towards the Seagulls on the back of Tommy Turbo. That's the only reason. I love the way that these teams have been playing. Manly have been great without Turbo. Last week they were good again. But the Broncos are playing a style of footy that's really contagious. And I wouldn't be surprised if they win, but I'm going for the Manly Seagulls.
No, I don't think I can stop trusting in Adam Reynolds and this Broncos team. I think I'm going with the Bronx. Then we get to Saturday. Now, Saturday's made up. It's a three-course meal on Saturday. Let's start with the entree that is the Warriors and the Rabbitohs. Huge game. Nathan Brown suddenly is the coach under pressure, apparently. Meanwhile, the Bunnies are now going to be without their skipper, Cam Murray, which is very significant. Cody Walker will wear the C next to his name for this game.
Look, I've avoided piling on the Brownie because of that fact that, you know, they've been living out of a suitcase, and I've heard some people say, well, that's a bonus because you're living with each other, but it's not.
No.
You're not where you are. You know, it'd be like Penrith being down at Brighton Les Hands for the whole season. You're not in your home your own neighbourhood. You're not with your own fans.
MG. It'd be like the Panthers. I saw a great tweet about it the other day. Somebody said, imagine if a Sydney club had to move its footy operations department to Auckland for a year. Yeah. How do you reckon they'd go? Two and a bit years. How do you reckon they'd go?
It's no good.
It's unprecedented.
I cut them some slack, but you've got to question 11 against 13, and the man you've got to question is Sean Johnson's, you know, pull over the game where he just basically didn't do anything. So
you're tipping the Bunnies.
Look, Blake Taffet, by all accounts, has got the flu, a bit like myself. He's out, apparently. So Nick Arima will be at fullback, his first game, Cody Nick Arima for the Rabbitohs, ironically, against his old team. And what will happen? I think Cody Walker with the number seven, with the C next to his name, as captain, is going to be the reason they win. I think he'll have the game of the year. He'll kind of unlock something that hasn't been locked all year, And I think having captain, I think Demetrio's rationale for doing it is to stop Cody being so angry on a footy field. He's got to let things go more often. He's got to let things slide. And a captain's got to lead by example. And I think making him captain, he will, and he'll play out of his skin.
I've always said this is the difference between you and Blake Taff, is that you play through the flu, whereas, you know, Taff, you know.
Come on, man.
Hey, the main meal, as I'm calling it, of Saturday Magic Round, Titans-Dragons. I'll give it to you now. Bold prediction, Titans bounce back in a real big way, win by 13+.
I'm with you. I think they'll win because, quite frankly, they need to. They've lost five in a row, and if they lose this game, I hate the shutter. I hate to think what will happen. But look, Fodawaka, Wallace, Liu, Firma, Fasumala, Awi.
Jaden Campbell being back is so big.
Massive. It's massive. Yeah, he's such an unpredictable player, which gives other teams nightmares when he's running the ball, like his dad was. I'm saying Titans as well.
Then we get to the dessert, and everybody loves dessert. This is sold out, by the way. At the moment, time of recording, this day is completely sold out. You can't get tickets, and here's the reason why. Storm Panthers, Saturday night, Suncorp Stadium.
Well, the Storm have finally done it. They've found their way to the top of the ladder, and on for and against, they're winning by a lot. They've scored over 224. The differential is 225, which is amazing. Amazing. Pappenhausen on his own has scored more than three or four sides in the NRL have altogether for this year. But they're missing him, which is a massive out. But saying that, Nick Meaney, we spoke about it on the Rush Hour last year. We watched Nick Meaney at the Melbourne Storm. And when he scored that try the other night, when he was running away smiling, that kind of encapsulates exactly what Melbourne's all about. You come down there, we'll turn that bronze into a gold-plated medal that they all turn into, Finucane. They just name them. Name the players that go there and how much it turns their fortunes around. And two of them, one of them's injured. Ramus Smith. Young Sebi goes in there. Iramia on the wing. But I just look at the forward pack of Melbourne and go, wow. Bromwich, Solomona, Kafusi, Bromwich, Josh King, who's been probably one of the buyers of the year, another one from Newcastle. Then you look over at the Panthers, who will be smarting.
Oh yeah,
about getting beaten against their arch rivals, their neighbours, the Battle of the West, all that stuff. They will be smarting, and they will be out for redemption. And I think they'll get it. I think that Penrith have, like Parramatta, a bit of a look. I'm not saying they've got a legacy over them, or I'm not saying they're going to kick their ass, but I just think Penrith will bounce back. I think Melbourne without Pappenhausen and Remus Smith, two massive outs in the back line. And Penrith's back line is awesome. I think this will be the game that Stephen Crichton cements his spot in the centre for New South Wales. I also think Liam Martin, this is the game he'll cement himself in the back row for the New South Wales team as well.
Wow.
So Penrith by
calls.
Two. 14-12 or 16-14 for mine.
I think Storm win and Brandon Smith makes a real nuisance of himself in this game when he comes off the bench. Right, Sunday, three games. Let's rattle through these. Sharkies, Raiders. Jeez, the Raiders are in all sorts at the moment.
Sharkies.
Great. Roosters, Eels. Good game. Really good game.
Oh, great game.
Roosters. You can't tip against the Eels.
Roosters.
That is... You know what that is? That's Penrith bias. That's a salty Panthers legend.
Maybe.
Bitter and twisted about a 2-point loss last week and sticking in a boot against the team that knocked them off.
What, Remani's penalty try? You reckon that was a try? No, I've given Parramatta all kudos for that win.
I just think
the Roosters have you don't usually hear the Roosters getting bagged like they are from the narrative.
You're the most balanced, one-eyed supporter I know.
Yeah, and
that's the best way I can put it.
I think that would have taken a bit of out of Parramatta last week. Now they've got to travel, get on a plane, go up there on a Sunday, which is going to be rain affected. Yeah. And I just think the likes of Hargraves and Tucky Aho, Angus Crichton, Tupanua and Radley might get over the top of the Parramatta six, but I could be wrong.
There's a dumbbell shortage in Brisbane this weekend because Ryan Madison's coming up and he said, I just need
to hide the iron.
Hide the heavy stuff. Last game of the round, West Tigers, Cowboys. We are praying that the weather allows this game to be played on a half decent pitch. You already inferred that you think this could be an upset. Are you going to tip it?
I'm staying with it. My bold prediction is the Tigers will win.
Wow, that would be a turn up for the books. My bold prediction will stay with the Titans as bouncing back. Not super bold, but I'm going with it. I think the Cowboys will get up. They're just playing a really nice brand of football. Now, producer Charlie, I need your input here. Do we have time for MG to reveal his far too early State of Origin side?
What are we at? 45 minutes? I reckon we maybe just call it, save for next week. What do you reckon?
Great call.
And you know what? It allows MG to get another weekend of footy.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you, Charlie.
To just cement it. That's very generous of you, producer Charlie.
45 minutes went quick, didn't it, man?
I know, jeez. Wow.
Time flies when you're having
rugby
fun, boys.
League with you guys all day. I'm disappointed you're not coming up to see me for Magic Round MG. I'll take that as a personal offence.
No, I'm glad I'm not going because I'm going to Hamilton Island next week with the show.
Oh, nice.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Do you need someone to carry your bags? Ryan Madison is the guy to get to carry your bags.
I'll meet you over there. and you can be my golf buggy driver.
Done. In. Sorted. All right. Always a pleasure to speak to you, MG, and you, producer Charlie. We will be back next week, next Wednesday, MG's Rugby League Rundown. It is the greatest midweek rugby league podcast in the history of podcasts. Enjoy Magic Round, gentlemen, and we'll speak to you next week.
Adios.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.